time for live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, we have quite a treat with us. We have the On Trio, that is spelled A-H-N. It's a piano trio of three sisters. They are going to be performing at the Doudna Fine Arts Center in the Dvorak Concert Hall on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tomorrow night at 7:30. They're with us today. They brought along their newest CD and another one, and we've got a couple others, so we'll explore some of those as well as conversation in just a moment here on Live and Local. Was music by Michael Nyman called Heart Asks Pleasure First. It's actually from the film The Piano and arranged specially for the On Trio, who are my guests here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. They're going to be performing tomorrow night at Eastern Illinois University at the newly redone Dvorak Concert Hall, which I still need to hear because I'm told the acoustics are fine there. In the Doudna Fine Arts Center, and they're with us here in our studios in Urbana. Thanks for coming up after having made it over to Charleston.
Thanks for having
us. We're excited to be here.
Well, excited is actually a pretty good word, it seems to me. When one looks at photos of of you all on your CDs, and if you Google the On Trio, you can actually find photo shoots on in video and everything else. And just even when you all walked in here, the energy is different than the average piano trio. And I'm sure a lot of that is because you're sisters, and sisters do what sisters
possibly
do. But
yes.
What kind of energy do you intend to create as a piano trio?
Well,
This is Angela, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, this is Angela. We really want our audiences basically to have the same emotional process that goes through us when we play music. And because we play mostly music that are written for us, it's almost like playing your own music. Even though we don't write the music, these composers like Michael Nyman or Pat Metheny or Mark O'Connor, they write music for us. So it's a really personal process in a way. And what we try to do is kind of portray that as much as we can and kind of then pass that over to our audiences.
So what is that personal process for you as you're both choosing music and creating music through rehearsal and then eventually performing it? If that's the process you want the audience to experience.
It's all very spontaneous. This is Maria.
The cellist.
For example, Pat Metheny just wrote us a piece, and it's because he was writing for us and we're Korean. He sort of even gave it a Korean title, Yuryang, which kind of roughly translates to ghost. But it's really images of Seoul for him because he's been on tour to Korea many, many times. And so, when we play this kind of music, every piece is different, but for me, this piece is like very nostalgic, and it's sort of picturing where we are from, but we no longer live there. But, what Pat wrote is really images that he saw, but for some, when we play the music, we can all sort of feel the same things inside the music. And yeah, I mean, it's a very personal experience, and I get very emotional playing this piece. But the music really sounds as if imagine if Bach was born in and living in 2009 in Korea, and he was writing, jazz or something. It might sound like that, it's a very special experience, and to have a composer sort of write something with you in mind, it's a feeling that's very hard to describe.
But our group is about just saying that, classical music, whether we're performing modern classical music, music that's written for us, or you're listening to Mozart or Beethoven, I mean, they were incredible rock stars in their own day, and you should have the same excitement. And it is very exciting to have live music, and we hope that a lot of students and audiences will really feel something different with the excitement of the music.
And that's Lucia, the pianist. Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
I went through the various ways one could say your name and Lucia. Well, just the fact that Pat Metheny is writing your music is different in itself. I mean, Pat Metheny doesn't run around writing music for the average piano trio.
This is true.
This is true, but we are very different. I think even while we were back in school, we were never quite wanting to do conventional things. And we always sort of were very rebellious with the choices of music and what we wanted to do as a piano trio. And we never felt like because we are a piano trio, we cannot do this, we cannot do that. Actually, in fact, we always felt the opposite, which is that because we're a piano trio and it hasn't been done, we can constantly do new things and have new challenges. And so we do things like do collaboration with a rock band, and we actually just did an album with them. And it was sort of like a sextet made of two trios, one modern classical trio and them a rock trio. And it came out in the Czech Republic under Warner. And, just things that we feel like doing as artists, we just always do.
But also, I think we're very much influenced by, of course, growing up in two different cultures, but also having gone to college in New York. All of us studied at Juilliard, and having so many opportunities to experience so many different kinds of music or arts or, you know, whatever, anything really, really creative. So I think it's also that influence of...
Right. Well, it's just a time that we live in, too, because it's happening not only in music, but also in food, and they're all the different cuisines mixing, and it's... Music also is mixing a lot. And Mark O'Connor is writing for classical musicians.
Mark O'Connor, the fiddler.
Yeah, and he's very, very well respected in the classical music world. And I just feel that all the sort of different boxes that are containing the different musical genres are definitely breaking. You know, they're all being combined.
But I think in history, you know, it was always happening. It's just that now it's even easier with the, you know, the internet. And I mean, Dvorak was getting influences from other parts of the world, and, you know, writing that are music that are sounds are, you know, from different kinds of cultures and everything. And I mean, it's always happened, but it just right now I think it's just a little bit easier in a way, because composers who are writing classical music now are influenced by everything. I mean, all the things that are available, you know, their surroundings. So that's my point. It's, you know, it's just easier for artists to sort of have influences from different things.
Well, it's almost impossible anymore to define what is classical music. I mean, from your point of view, what makes you a classical group as opposed to a rock trio?
Well, the main difference is that we are still using our own instruments, piano and violin and the cello, and they're not instruments like electric guitar, and, you know, the different instruments are definitely different. And our training is done at Juilliard, very, very classical, conservatory. So definitely there are differences, and also we wouldn't call ourselves jazz artists. We were not trained to play jazz, although jazz composers write us music, but they're written down still.
Right, but it's still concert works written for a piano trio. It's not like we're jamming, doing jamming sessions with them, you know, on stage.
I mean, although that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
But I wonder if defining what category you fit into is so important. You know, I think for as long as I can remember, you know, we as in us musicians, have always defined music in kind of two categories, good music and bad music. So it doesn't really... for me, anyway, it doesn't seem so important that you have to categorize.
And this is Angela, the violinist. And it's interesting. Your instrument is, in a way, a really good example of fusion that can happen even without changing anything at all. In other words, you play the violin, but if Mark O'Connor picked up your instrument and played certain kinds of music, suddenly your instrument would be called a fiddle.
Oh, right.
But it's the same thing.
It's absolutely the same thing. You know, I mean, there's so many jokes about what's the difference between a violin and a fiddle. But I think all our instruments, actually, the piano, the cello, and the violin, allow so much kind of different varieties of kinds of sounds that you can get out of the three instruments. And that's why... I think you know, a piano trio is really exciting, to use that word again. We just have so many unlimited kind of ways to express music with these three instruments.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I would say I feel like as a modern piano trio, we can do a lot more like crazy sounds than just with an electric, you know, cello or something like that. I mean, the composers are very innovative and at times very avant-garde, and I mean, they ask you to do very, very strange things on your instruments, and we don't really think about that, because we think classical music, oh, Tchaikovsky, Bach, you know, Mozart, Haydn, but actually all these modern classical composers write very, very crazy stuff and very innovative sounds,
But Mozart and Beethoven were considered that they were doing some crazy things in their own lifetime, too. So
right. I actually feel, I've always felt like that the classical music is a lot more forward and, you know, more modern than other forms of music.
In what way?
Well, just like what I said, you know, they were always very much ahead of their times, you know. I mean, I think 200 years ago, it was very normal to program 50% of the music on the program would be all new music that was just written, like, weeks before. It was always sort of newer than the music that was existing and the music that people are playing. And sort of similar things are happening now. I mean, we just have a, you know, longer period of music to choose from. But all the modern composers now, you know, it could be like neoclassical and it could be like neoromantic. I mean, they have so many more choices to choose from which style they want to write music in.
Or just their own.
Right. Or like complete their own or atonal or I mean, you know, it's much larger pool of choices.
And it's the A composer. Here's Pat Metheny for piano trio. You know, Michael Nyman for piano trio. We're talking with the On Trio, who are pianist Lucia, violinist Angela, and cellist Maria, and they're in our studios here in Urbana. They're going to be performing tomorrow night in Charleston at the Doudna Fine Arts Center, the Dvorak Concert Hall there, 7:30 concert. And they brought along some recorded samples. Alas, we don't have a piano in our studio, or we'd have asked you to come and to play live. That might happen someday if we have a really generous donor. That is an appeal to anybody who might be listening and wants to hear some live piano on Live and Local, which is the name of this show. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is FM 90.9. The piece you chose to play next from this is your newest CD, right?
Yes, Lullaby for My Favorite Insomniac.
That's a wonderful title, Lullaby for My Favorite Insomniac, which is actually the name of one of the tunes on here. But you chose a different one. Speaking of fusion, this is an arrangement by somebody whose original music you have often done, Kenji Bunch. Am I saying his or her name right?
Yes.
Is it he Kenji or she?
Yes,
we
one
went
of our
to
favorite composers.
Yeah, he's one of our favorite composers, and we met him at Juilliard, and he's one of those guys that you hate because he's so multi-talented. He can play the viola, and he teaches viola, and he performs viola all the time. But he's also a composer, and he plays in a bluegrass band.
And he can
City Grass,
also sing.
And he sings in the band, and he sings very well. So
yeah, I hate people like that.
Yeah,
too.
It's just
he can do an excellent Johnny Cash.
And he really uses a lot of all the love of different types of music that, he incorporates into his music. And
in this case, he's doing Rodgers and Hart.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, and we actually have a special connection also to this song because when we were at Juilliard, the chairwoman at the time was Mary Rodgers, the daughter of Richard Rodgers, and we all became very, very close to her. Wonderful, energetic, passionate woman. Anyway, so that's the other kind of layer to this song, My Funny Valentine, written by her father.
It's performed by the On Trio here on Live and Local. Richard Rodgers and Lawrence Hart, as arranged by Kenji Bunch here on FM 90.9. an unusual arrangement of Rodgers and Hart's My Funny Valentine. Kenji Bunch made that arrangement. The On Trio performed it, and it was, I assume it was arranged for you?
Yes, it was transcribed for us.
By Kenji Bunch.
This is the On Trio, who are with us on Live and Local on FM 90.9, and they're going to be heard in recital tomorrow night at the Doudna Fine Arts Center on the Eastern Illinois University campus in Charleston, a 7:30 concert. Support for today's broadcast on FM 90.9 comes in part from Radio Maria in downtown Champaign, now with a new dinner menu. Tapas served every evening until 2 a.m., along with lunch on Friday from 10:30 to 2:30 and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Information on menus, wine, and beer lists is at RadioMariaRestaurant.com. And coming up a little later in the show, we have Michael Fisher, who is organist at Emmanuel Memorial Episcopal Church in Champaign. Michael is going to be performing a recital for organ, trumpet, and oboe, not always, never actually in trio, as it turns out, but in duet and solo, at the church on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We'll talk with Mike in a little while on the show. But we continue our conversation with Maria, Lucia, and Angela Ahn, who are a wonderful piano trio, an exciting piano trio, as we discussed earlier, an eclectic piano trio, as you will hear, especially in the piece we're going to hear a little bit later, and a glamorous trio.
Not very glamorous.
Well, I only say that because, you know, apparently People magazine decided that you were among the 50 most beautiful people in some year
that
or another.
We
when
were
did
surprised.
That happen?
Remarkable. We looked at each other and said, we're not.
Well, that's because you're sisters and you're always cutting on each other, right? Isn't that how that's supposed to go?
We looked at each other and we said, that's impossible.
But the point of my bringing it up is, how important is the visual image to your performances, to your image as a trio, to the marketing, to your whole essence?
It's very important because we are three girls or women, and when you look at a concert, you look at the lights and you set up the mood and the whole scenery and everything. It really adds to the picture and adds to the music and adds to the experience. Can you imagine going and watching Madonna's concert when she's not in costume and she has no lights and there are white lights and you know, she's singing without anything else to add to her music. So we feel that it's very important to create an atmosphere where...
Right, but you're talking about the atmosphere, not how we look, right? I mean
well, we should look nice, of course, but I'm talking more about the atmosphere of the stage. And even when we were recording our Lullaby album, which was, we were doing it in Prague, in the Czech Republic, at a recording studio there, and we were producing it ourselves with two very, very talented Czech sound engineers, and we created actually very low lights for us to play in, because we didn't want to play all this beautiful music of Lullabies with bright lights, and you couldn't have the same feeling.
But going back to the actual visual importance, you know, I think it's so important, because if you only want to listen to music, you should stay home and listen to an album. You know, when I go see a concert, I want to look at the performers, not just listen. You know, it's a visual experience, not just an oral one. So I think it's very important that you present yourself in the best way possible. In every way.
Well, I thought it was, Lucia made an interesting analogy to Madonna. I mean, mm-hmm. as you said, you wouldn't imagine her performing without the trappings.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, everything else you know about Madonna is partly what takes you to her concerts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when you guys create a certain visual image in marketing. I mean, you came in, you brought me these buttons.
I mean, that's because we secretly want to be rock stars.
Well, it actually looks like you could be rock stars on these two, especially the silhouette.
No.
It actually looks like Charlie's Angels in this one here, with homage to Farrah Fawcett, who
right.
Well, this past summer we just played at this World Music Festival in the Czech Republic. And it was incredible because we've never played for 10,000 screaming fans before. And, you know, even before we walked out on stage, they were chanting our name just because we were performing with this other trio together, and they knew our name. And
this is the rock trio, right?
It was just an incredible experience and incredible rush because we don't always have that in concert halls.
So for people who are listening, if you're coming to our night, you have to start screaming our names before we even start to play.
And cheer and whistle. And we'll feel so much more loved.
All three
and then we'll
of your
always
names?
Remember Eastern Illinois University fans.
Which also is, I assume, is licensed. If people want to clap before, during, and after, I assume that's fine with you.
Well, they should show excitement.
Yeah. You know, it actually seems a little bit odd to us that at some point in our world, meaning the classical music world, there were all these rules that were made. You know, like you can't clap until the end of a piece. Well, if you look at Bach's time or Beethoven's time or Mozart's time, people clapped when they felt like it. They played one movement, and if people liked it, they clapped.
Yeah, and they were drinking in the balconies. And, and
then
really
they'd play
rowdy.
The movement again.
But my point being, you know, I think music is so much about sort of this sharing and emotions and this, like, really physical experience, and it seems a little odd that we have so many rules, and we really want people to experience our music in a much more casual,
comfortable way. I mean, that's how it should be enjoyed. I don't believe in just sitting stiff.
If people wanted to get up and dance while we're playing, we would welcome that. I mean, not many people have done that before, but if they wanted to, we would be happy.
Well, the next piece you chose here, which is a composition by Kenji Bunch, the other was an arrangement of his, it would be an interesting kind of dance if they danced to this, but it certainly has rhythm and we should just play. Let's just play
sure,
it, I guess.
Okay, sure.
This is, we'll hear the beginning of the Kenji Bunch's Concerto for Piano Trio and Percussion. And it's the on trio with the percussionists Matthew Gold and Brian Resnick. Is that how he says his name?
And this is from our Unplugged album, right?
Yeah. Unplugged, A-H-N Plugged. It was a wonderful title. Oh, and yeah, this picture, speaking of pictures, always reminded me of the Beatles.
All right.
Did you have that in mind when the photographer did that one?
Well, luckily for us, at one
Abbey
of our,
Road, I think is his
right.
Name.
Well, one of our concerts in New York, there was this wonderful photographer who showed up, and we had no idea that he just happens to be one of the most respected fashion photographers in the world. His name is Arthur Elgort. So we have had a wonderful relationship with him, and he takes a lot of pictures of us, and that was his idea.
And he liked us because he loves classical music. He used to usher at Carnegie Hall and follow Bernstein around and
take Bernstein's passport photos.
So so we were very, very lucky to have met him.
He loves classical music.
So you can go to ontrio.org.com
mm-hmm.
and you can see all kinds of photos, including all of the CDs. If you want to know what the people we're talking to look like, or you can show up at the Dvorak Concert Hall tomorrow night in Charleston. Here's beginning of Kenji Bunch's Concerto for Piano Trio and Percussion with the On Trio. My guests on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. the On Trio with percussionist Matthew Gold and Brian Resnick in Concerto for Piano Trio and Percussion by Kenji Bunch, who wrote that in 1996 for the trio. And they actually are have been the recipients of a number of commissions and a number of collaborations they're getting more and more involved with. We'll hear about that in just a moment. We have just a few more minutes with them here on Live and Local. And coming up, a conversation about a recital for organ, trumpet, and oboe that you can hear in Champaign on Sunday. Our broadcast today on FM 90.9 is funded in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, a state agency. Maria Lucia and Angela Ahn, it's really been delightful to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much.
And they are performing in Charleston tomorrow night at 7:30. If you want information and tickets, you can either go to their website, which is eiu.edu, that's Eastern Illinois University, .edu/Doudna, D-O-U-D-N-A, or the box office number 581-3110, 581-3110, that's in the 217 area. As we were listening to that, you said you particularly wanted to mention some collaborations that you have coming.
Well, that one was a concerto for trio and percussion written by Kenji Bunch, but Kenji more recently wrote us a piece called Hardware Concerto, and that's for Hardware Concerto for piano, violin, cello, and a full orchestra. And it's called Hardware because we have a lot of hardware on stage with us. Maria and I are plugged into guitar amps. Lucia plays the piano and the keyboard. In fact, I even have a wah-wah pedal. So, you know, it's just so, for us, so exciting that these composers are really adding to the trio repertoire. You know, we should also mention that Mark O'Connor recently wrote us a triple concerto. Beautiful piece.
And it's, Angela actually really turned us into fiddle music. And I just love his triple concerto. We just premiered it this year, and it's so genius. I mean, he's such a genius, and he basically used all his favorite themes.
That he wrote himself.
Because he's written, he might have recorded maybe 50 albums by now. I mean, he has so much original music. And so he chose his absolute favorites and used them into the triple concerto, and it's just stunning. So we're so excited to add to the piano trio's triple concerto repertoire because, as you know, we have the Beethoven triple, which we have performed many, many times, but we're very excited to have these two that are just especially written for us.
And in the lullaby for my favorite Insomniac album, our latest CD, you know, it was so much fun to do these collaborations. I mean, we have done collaborations on the album with three non-classical singers who are phenomenal, and also an electronic music artist, Juno from Berlin. And, you know, we had DJ Spooky do remixes as bonus tracks. And we thought, wow, like, we want to do like an entire album of remixes of the On Trio's music. But then we ended up just putting them as bonus tracks instead for this time, but we probably will still do that. And we have incredible fun doing all these collaborations with different types of artists.
Well, that's pretty apparent. And actually, this CD does have kind of remixes, or at least new versions of a few of the things you've had on previous albums.
Yes.
Including this one we're going to go out on.
Yes. It's Oblivion by Piazzolla. Astor Piazzolla is one of our favorite composers. So we might have to record him on every album that we make because you never get tired of his music. So what we have done is that we have done that same piece, Oblivion, but with a little bit of electronica mixed in there by our Czech producers. And
it's very different.
It's well, I love it. I love the mixture of sounds. So you'll have
I
to
think
listen
piano
to it
trio
and see if
mixed
you like
a little
it.
Bit with electronica is it makes a little it makes it very different.
So this is kind of another. This is like a Hardware arrangement of Oblivion from your previous album, which
well,
has a different sound.
It's we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but it is really, really wonderful how many sounds you can get out of the violin, cello, and the piano. And they're just acoustic instruments, but they're kind of this huge possibilities for all the instruments. And that's what makes us really excited about these instruments.
That's actually a great way to end this conversation. We're back to excitement, yeah. But also, but
we get
also,
excited a lot.
Well, that is very obvious. But also, just the idea that you guys are expanding the possibilities mm-hmm. for the piano trio and for music and mm-hmm. for the concert medium.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we want to do.
Well, you're doing a great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, and I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed it. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. The An Trio, Maria, Lucia, and Angela, cello, piano, and violin, respectively, playing at the Dvorak Concert Hall in Charleston
so
on the
to
Eastern.
Say Dvorak.
Dvorak, that's what
I
they
know.
Say.
I
there's
know.
There's no little doohickeys over the various letters. And this is our going out music. It's called Oblivion by Argentinian composer Astor Piazzolla. Thank you. Music by Astor Piazzolla. It's called Oblivion, in a performance by the On Trio, with electronic additions to that, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. In a moment, a conversation regarding a recital that you can hear Sunday afternoon at Emmanuel Memorial Episcopal Church in Champaign, of music for organ, trumpet, and oboe. But first, on Live and Local, here is our living music calendar and theater. The wonderful baritone Nathan Gunn is performing with pianist Julie Gunn and soprano Yvonne Redman tonight at 7:30 at the Kreiner Center for the opening, Kreiner Center for the Performing Arts. It's their opening marquee series concert. And Absurd Person Singular continues its run, in fact, finishes its run at the Celebration Company at the Station Theater. Tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday at 8 o'clock each evening, Station Theaters in downtown Urbana. Grassroots Revival, the bluegrass group performing at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood, 5:30 tomorrow night. And the Red Mask Players Children's Theater is presenting Scheherazade at the Catherine Randolph Theater in Danville, Friday night at 7 o'clock, and Saturday twice at 2 o'clock and at 7 o'clock. On Saturday, Candy Foster and Shades of Blue are at Alto Vineyards. It's part of their fall festival. They start at 4:30, and then Eric Girardi Band is from 8 to 11, all on Saturday night. The Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra presents Symphony at Sunset at Dodds Park in Champaign. The concert itself begins at 7 o'clock. Doors open, there's no doors, but the park admittance begins at 4, and other events start at 5 o'clock. The Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra is joined by pianist Tanya Bannister for a concert Saturday night. It's their opening celebration concert at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur. That is 7:30 on Saturday. And I cannot find my Sunday listings, which I could swear I brought in the studio with me, because I won't be on doing the show tomorrow to share them with you. If I can make them materialize during our next music, I will tell you some of what's going on Sunday. One of which is this recital featuring organist Michael Fisher, trumpeter Sid Schuler, and oboe player Evan Tamman. I just about blanked on his name, in Champaign on Sunday. We'll talk about that in a moment. It's the program here at WYLL is made possible with support from Parkland Art Gallery at Parkland College. The gallery's exhibitions and educational programs are offered free of charge to the public. Artist receptions, interviews with artists, and other special programs are offered to interpret the exhibits. It was a famous trumpet voluntary by John Stanley for trumpet and organ, played here by trumpeter Edward Carroll and organist William Neal here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. It's a nice disc called Sound the Trumpet. That is one of the several pieces on the program Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Emmanuel Memorial Episcopal Church in downtown Champaign, featuring the church's organist Michael Fisher and guest performers, trumpeter Sidney Schuler and oboist Evan Tamman. Mike is here with me on the show today. Thanks, Mike, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And if you do me a favor and pull your microphone just a little bit closer, okay, We'll hear you slightly better.
Okay, how's that?
Oh, that's just wonderful.
Okay.
And Mike, you're presenting this, I guess, in part in affiliation with the AGO, American Guild of Organists, local
yes.
chapter.
We have really an area chapter. The chapter includes people in Danville and eastern Indiana and as well as Champaign-Urbana and Hoopston, and just the geographic region here, because one community is a little bit small, so we pull all of our members from various communities who have an interest in organ and church music primarily.
Which is quite a lot of people. You know, when you've done recitals or hosted recitals at Emmanuel before, they always seem to be very well attended. How many performances does the AGO sponsor in a year? Is it?
Well, it varies a little bit. This year we have sponsored one, two, three, four, probably four or five this year. One is still questionable. We always try to include a student recital with students from the University of Illinois, who are part of Dr. Dana Robinson's organ class. Also, we do a series called Organ Vespers. We do one or two a year, which is modeled kind of after an evening prayer service. It's intended to be more reflective or contemplative. And while there might be a small choir present, the idea is to feature the organ in roles that a large choir might normally participate.
And, of course, here you are presenting, as it happens, students at the University of Illinois, but not organ students. Evan Tamman is an oboist, just entering the master's program there, and Sidney Schuller in the doctoral program at the School of Music, University of Illinois. And joining you in this recital, give us a quick overview of the program.
Well, we're starting with music of John Stanley, except this is the one we're doing is a three-movement set of voluntaries, ending with the trumpet voluntary that you just heard and probably were familiar with. Following that, Evan Tamman will play a partita, really more of a sonata or slash partita by a Baroque composer, Johann Hertel, in three movements. And after that, Sid and I are doing a wonderful sonata by a German named Harold Gensmer, who lived some 98 years and died in 2007, actually. And it's a fine piece. It's modeled. It's very jaunty in places. Good piece. And then following that, Evan and I are doing some Rheinberger. Rheinberger wrote a lot of music for violin and cello and organ. These two pieces happen to be transcriptions, however. The first is a pastoral for oboe and organ. And then from the seventh organ sonata, I am playing the first movement complete, and then there's a transcription of this very beautiful second movement for oboe and organ, which Evan will play also. And then we're entering with Sid, Henri Thomassy, contemporary French composer, Holy Week in Cuzco, which is a city in Peru, and I assume, as some of the Latin American countries have rather extreme processions and things like that during Holy Week, of people carrying crosses and people playing Jesus and this kind of thing. I wish I could find more information about exactly what this is modeled on, but it's a virtuoso piece for piccolo trumpet, and not so much virtuoso for the organ, but it's a fine organ part. And I find it very exciting, with a very introspective middle section, and then back to the piccolo trumpet for all the fireworks at the end.
And then you're ending with some music by François Couperin.
Yeah, I thought it'd be kind of fun to clear the air and do something totally different. And there's a very grand offertoire from the Couperin Parish Mass, and it's a fine piece, and I think everybody, including me, can relax and just enjoy listening to it as a program ending.
We don't have either of the Rheinberger pieces that you mentioned on our shelves here at the studio, but I pulled, here's part of a movement from another piece of Rheinberger that I'm going to guess is not untypical of what you'll hear on Sunday. This happens to be a pastoral movement from his six pieces for violin and organ. Christopher Herrick's the organist, violinist is Paul Barrett. We're talking about a recital for organ, trumpet, and oboe at in downtown Champaign, Emmanuel Episcopal Church, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Music by Josef Rheinberger, the Pastoral Movement from his Six Pieces for Violin and Organ, Christopher Herrick, the organist, violinist Paul Barrett. And Mike Fisher tells me that that is kind of a similar sound to what you'll hear for oboe and organ by Rheinberger on his recital with trumpeter Sidney Schuller and oboist Evan Tammen Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I mentioned that I had lost my other page of my calendar earlier. There happens to be another organ recital, if you are a fan of organ music, on Sunday, also at 3 o'clock in Bloomington. If you can't get over to Champaign, you can hear one in Bloomington with organist Susan Klotzbach of Illinois Wesleyan University. That's going to be at St. John's Lutheran Church in Bloomington Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. The one that we're talking about right now is at Emmanuel Memorial Episcopal Church in Champaign, Sunday afternoon, also at 3 o'clock. Mike, I have a completely unrelated question for you.
Yes.
You used to work at WILL many moons ago. Is this your first time in front of a microphone here since back then?
No. Actually, I've been in front of a microphone with Roger Cooper. He interviewed me a few years ago for another program.
Good for Roger.
Yeah, but it's nice to be back. Back in that time, we were in Gregory Hall, which is rather primitive comparatively.
Well, you're a natural at the microphone.
Well, thank you.
And we have just a couple minutes here. What made you decide trumpet and oboe for this particular recital?
Well, I had the Tomasi and the Harold Gensmer sonata in my personal music library, and had played them a number of years ago for a recording that a graduate student here made with me, and so submitted it for a Fulbright application, which I'm happy to say he got the Fulbright. And I thought it'd be very nice to repeat those. And I met Evan at an American Guild of Organists evening last spring, and he was coming in as a master's student, as you mentioned, and came with a fine reputation. And so I thought, ha-ha, let's do oboe and organ.
Well, you do have a couple of very fine players. I haven't heard Evan in a long time and would really like to. He used to play in my youth orchestra when he was a kid, and he went off to, I think he was at ISU.
No, Illinois
was
Wesleyan.
Was it Wesleyan? Okay.
It was Wesleyan.
And Sid Schuller, a very fine trumpet player, taught for a while in one of the public schools after having earned his master's here and back doing a doctoral recital, and a great piccolo trumpet player, too, and you're featuring him.
Yes.
On that. And you got some difficult music to play, but also a great variety on the program.
I think so. I think you'll find some of it somewhat challenging, but it's also very engaging. It's just a fine program, I think, for these two instruments and the amount of time we have.
And it's free.
It's free, that's right. And there's parking just would be west of the Virginia Theater off of Park Avenue is the church's parking lot.
And Emmanuel Memorial Episcopal Church is at University and State Streets in Champaign. The one with the red door, people often identify at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Mike Fisher, the organist, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. It's WILL FM and HD Urbana. Operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.